This Fab FM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Good morning, Paul. How are you, mate?
Mate, I am good. You must be excited about this. Not everybody's excited about it, but I know you are.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. And unfortunately, it's been the history of the Daintree, or that Daintree Coast community. There's always been a small group out there that have been opposed to anything at all. It looks like giving people, residents there, who have been there a long time before World Heritage listing, but give them an opportunity for a quality of life that every other Australian enjoys. And I've been involved. I've been in this job now. I kicked off in 1996, and it's been one of those things on my agenda, on my to-do list. Unfortunately, the state government has significant control, and when they decided, the state government decided to legislate the Daintree Power Bill, which prohibited extension of mains equivalent power. That really put the kibosh on it for a lot of years. And this is in spite of the fact that when that land in the Cow Bay subdivision was released all those years ago, and people like the Verreys, who bought the site for the hotel, the Cow Bay Hotel, there were strict conditions on what they had to do to be able to get title on that land. The state government had two obligations, which was part of the deal, to give them main power and also to give them title. Now, if you drive into the Cow Bay Hotel and coming from the south, the first turn, if you look hard into the little bit of forest there, you actually see the power pole still standing there as a, as a legacy and monument to the fact that they reneged on their deal. Now, what has happened, of course, since then, is that people, particularly in businesses, have struggled to try and provide appropriate power for their customers. It's been a major issue, as it has for the broader community now. And so, you know, the fact that we've actually got it happening now, this is the next step that had to be done. When you say it's a business study, ARENA has already done all the hard work, working with Sunverge about 18 months or so ago, a couple of years ago now, where they put up the options. Now, the options included, they had, I guess, from the platinum option, which is the one that we're taking, this is the microgrids, down to the option that most of those opponents are wanting to do now, which is, of course, sit down and do nothing and just leave it as it is and subsidise existing solar arrays. But, you know, to do that, Paul, that means to say that the government goes and shovels out a whole heap of money to people to upgrade their solar systems. Understand that a lot of these systems continue to be inefficient because a lot of them didn't clear the land. So they're working inside the forest, so it is ineffective. And of course, they don't last that long neither. And so they've got to then rely on governments in the future to come back and offer them more subsidies. Whereas what we're talking about here is something that will be done for all across the whole region, connectivity. There are large portions. They can use the existing solar, rooftop solar, to start the process while they construct a solar array. And there's already a couple of sites that have been identified and nominated, made available if they are suitable. And it means it's a long-term solution. It's the project will be do all of the identify where the directional drilling has to go, because it will be underground. It will tell us exactly how much it's going to cost. It's going to and what needs to be done to make it happen. Whether we have one or two generators, etc. So there's a lot of things involved. At the end of this project, we will have something that is shovel ready.
Do you know, Warren, I just can't work it out. I can't work it out why anybody would be against this. Now, one of the things that, of course, that I've mentioned and you've mentioned on this program before, you're looking at around about 4 million litres of diesel fuel spewing out to generate power. Here is a clean, green alternative, and yet we've still got people in our community who are saying, we want to have more information. We want to do more reports. You know, forget about the talking. What about some action? I mean, 4 million litres of diesel fuel spewing out in one of the most beautiful, pristine places on the planet.
And sleeping in, we're struggling to get supply air conditioning into the accommodation, and having guests laying there with a thump, 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 thump of diesel generators all night. Really not really consistent with the image. Now, and yes, it beggars belief that you've still got this mob there that are running around saying, no, let's stick with generators. You know, there's a lot of things, and it would have been a pity with some of these opponents didn't actually turn up and listen to some of the stories rather than just be locked into this ideological position that they are. You know, there was women there that are on their own now, widowed, more mature age, sharing stories how, you know, and late at night out there with 20 litres of diesel trying to climb up to pour it into the diesel generator to keep it operational. They shouldn't have to do that now.
That's right.
And you know, accommodation providers up there, and now they're struggling up there because, you know, people go up there because they see it as a danger. Then they're struggling to give them air. They want air conditioning. They expect air conditioning, but they don't like the fact that it's coming out of diesel now from generators. Now, can you imagine what it's going to be like to be able to promote your property north of the river, fully air conditioned, you know, world standard quality, and the whole thing in line with its location, powered by water through hydrogen. I mean, that in itself is a great marketing tool. But the other thing that people are not thinking about here, these ones that are running around say, let's keep walking on our knuckles and let's keep lighting, you know, burning diesel and coal. I mean, the worst, it's 2020, nearly 2020 that we're moving. It's the 21st century. But there's another one too. These are the same ones that hammer on my door complaining about connectivity up there. They can't get, you know, internet access, or which is a challenge in a place like that. And then and they oppose the towers. They don't want the towers, but they need the connectivity.
Mm.
But let me tell you something. With this microgrid project, they can actually have their cake and eat it too. Because the reality is, you're not just going to put directional drilling, you're not just going to put a power line in it. You can put fibre optic cable in it as well. So all of them will be connected. So this issue that they're having with connectivity will be a thing of the past. And of course, I mean, that's part of the project. You're not going to do that by subsidising people to keep their generators and their rooftop solars. Mm. It's just not going to happen.
Mm. Well, so, Warren, the state government, you know, it keeps on coming up with more and more feasibility studies. I can't get a yes or a no, really, from the Douglas Shire Council. But have a little listen. The mayor and the deputy mayor will be there tonight at Heritage Lodge at 6:30, along with yourself and other people, to explain the nuts and bolts. But I want to get your reaction. This is what Mayor Julie Aloy said to me this morning when I told her about it, and she said this.
Look, first of all, I'm very much looking forward to the meeting tonight. It's a public meeting, which is great, so anyone can attend. And I know that certainly the Deputy Mayor Abigail and myself will be going up there, and so that's that opportunity to find out a lot more about what the feasibility study will cover, and also the impacts and the opportunities.
In the past, of course, Julie, you have mentioned that you had some doubts about the grid. In the past, you've said that.
Look, I suppose I also wanted to know more details at the time. We do know that there are a number of options. Everyone wants to reduce the reliance on diesel. That's very clear. It's also about the fact that it's a very special area. It's not just, say, a particular big patch of land out in Western Queensland, for example. It is the World Heritage Daintree Rainforest. So that makes this a lot more complicated in terms of what we would expect and what will be gains for the residents and also gains for the environment.
So there you go. It's a very, very firm non-committal.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'm glad to hear that she's coming. I think that's fantastic, and I'm hoping that she will be enthusiastic. Although I would suggest that if she... Abigail, by the way, has been to meetings in the past, so Abigail has quite a bit of knowledge on it. Michael Kerr is also going to be there. Michael Kerr, I might add, a councillor, has been to every one of the meetings. So, you know, if there was a... I'm surprised there wasn't a discussion with council to ask some of the councillors what they think. Because, you know, I know that Michael has been quite very, very enthusiastic about it and has attended every meeting. But having said that, yes, I think it's a great idea that she comes along, because and we really would appreciate the council's support, because where we need their support is that, you know, our former councillor who had that brain snap so long ago decided to get paid by the state government to take over control of all of the roads. Remember when he painted all the road markings green?
Mm.
With his friend Mr. Berwick? Mm. He's the one that's opposing what we're doing now, but he painted all the road markings green, and of course, and planted the trees right to the edge of the bitumen at the Alexander Bay School, so that there was no capacity to see kids if they were crossing the road. They had to knock some of those trees down. But having said that, so they own, the Douglas Shire actually owns the roads, not the state government. So we're going to need them to cooperate to allow access so that we can drill underneath the roads and we can lay cables underneath the roads. And so I'm pleased to see that the mayor and the deputy mayor will be there this evening. She made reference about concerns about where the solar's going. But let me tell you, there are a number of sites there already that have been identified that are clear-felled and running cattle at the moment.
Mm.
Now, landholders have already identified some of those sites and said, hey, if you want to use this one, please use it. So, you know, there is sites available that would be ideally suited for it. But in the interim, everybody that has rooftop solar, you can, like anybody else in Australia, you can feed into the grid and get a feed-in tariff for that. And we all know that there is a life of those solar panels. You know, they got a defined life. As they no longer become efficient, then by that stage we can have identified where we need the solar arrays, whether we need one or whether we need two, and then they can be commissioned. The other thing too, people always talk about the money. You know, there is no doubt that there will be a requirement for federal and state to contribute. But there's been a very strong interest from the private sector to be involved in this. They want to put their name on this one, given the significance of it. And, you know, it does bother me that the state government have done everything they can to kick the can down the road on this one. And that people need to be reminded of this. At the last state election, there was a commitment of $1 million towards powering the north of the river. Now, they have chosen to ignore the national arena, which is the national renewable body, their report, which basically answered a lot of questions, and then any other questions were going to be answered by this report that we're funding now. They decided to ignore all of that. They didn't want to come on board, and they decided to kick the can down the road by putting $1 million into another report, which has proven to be just ridiculous. You can shoot holes through it everywhere, but it's in line with an agenda that the state government has. And quite frankly, somebody should write a little book on it, how to squander $1 million worth of taxpayers' funding and achieve absolutely bloody nothing. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Anyway, look, Warren Ince, thank you. I will see you at that meeting at 6:30. She's going to be a ripper. At least now we've got that money coming forward, the almost $1 million, and will be explained. And I take it tonight that they will explain the nuts and bolts in simple lay terms.
And understand that this is an essential step that needs to be taken so that you have a shovel-ready project so money can be allocated to make it happen. Now, the other thing for those naysayers that they say we don't want a bar of it, we don't want it, let me make it very, very clear on your program. This is not compulsory. And in fact, if they feel strongly enough about this, let's make sure we'll keep a catalogue of those property numbers, of those people that own the property that don't want it there, and we'll make sure that when they lay the cables, when they lay the fibre optics, we'll make sure that there is no capacity to be able to access them on those property numbers so that they can maintain their same situation, but they will not be able to get access in the future because we'll make sure that there is no takeoff point at their property. And that will satisfy them so that it'll have no impact on them. They can continue to operate whichever way they want to do. And we'll just make sure that those that want it, then that are the ones that actually get it. I want to make sure that the school gets it. I want to make sure the clinic gets it. I want to make sure that all those businesses get it. And every one of those family-owned properties up there that are actually living in the 21st century that want to do it for their children, they get it as well. For those mature age ladies that are living up there, I want to make sure that they don't have to hump 20 litre drums of diesel in the middle of the night to start their generators. They want it. But those that don't want it, give us their lot numbers and we'll make sure that their properties are locked out in perpetuity.
I'll see you tonight, Warren Inch.
See you, mate. Take care.
Bye-bye. Warren Inch there, the federal member for Leichhardt. Yes, that's interesting, isn't it? For those people who don't want this 21st century grid, hydrogen grid, put your hand up and remain in the 19th century.
You're listening to Paul Makin on Fab FM, Port Douglas Mossman.